Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Remarkable moments across the Middle East or a set of political coincidences? I'm John Hockenberry. Good morning. This is The Takeaway. Celeste Headlee is off today. We're talking about the demonstrations in the Middle East. Of course, we've reported widely on the democratic movement and the revolution that overthrew 23 years of dictatorship in Tunisia. This morning, there's a nationwide day of revolution organized online and actually bringing people into the streets in Cairo, Egypt, where President Hosni Mubarak has ruled in that country since the death of President Sadat back in the 1980s. Today is a day of rage in Lebanon as well, and there are people on the streets there, although the issues in Lebanon are distinct from the situation in Tunisia and Cairo. They're organized by Sunni lawmakers, these demonstrations, to protest Hezbollah's gains in the Lebanese government, which you'll recall has actually fallen because Hezbollah refused to support the government and its stance on a United Nations investigation into the death of Rafiq Hariri, which the United Nations suspects that Hezbollah had something to do with. The Shiite militant group, classified as a terrorist organization by Washington, has moved to the brink of controlling the next Lebanese government, and that's what set off the protests this morning. Thanasi Kambanis is author of A Privilege to Die: Inside Hezbollah's Legions and Their Endless War Against Israel. He joins us from New York this morning. Thanasi, good morning.
Great to be with you.
You know, there's a couple of things. There's the organization called Hezbollah, which is a militia group, but Hezbollah also represents the Shiite population in Lebanon, which is sizable, and in a sense, its representation is suppressed by the configuration of the Lebanese constitution. Which is this, the ascendance of a militia, and what is the ascendance of the Shiite electorate in Lebanon at large?
Well, the Shiites are now by far the largest group in Lebanon. No one knows for sure because there hasn't been a census there since the 1930s. But the Shiites are about a third of the country. They've certainly eclipsed the Sunnis and definitely the Christians. The interesting thing that's happening now is Hezbollah has been the dominant political group for at least the last 5 years, but they've tried to avoid directly controlling the government. They've preferred to be in opposition, and now they've finally taken this plunge and have decided to choose the prime minister themselves. But because of Lebanon's arcane system, the prime minister is actually an independent Sunni lawmaker, not a member of Hezbollah, not a Shiite, but allied with the group.
And the constitution says that one of the heads of the government has to be Sunni, one has to be Christian, and the Shiites can have the rest.
Right. Well, specifically, the presidency goes to a Christian, the prime ministry to the Sunnis, and the insignificant, in theory, Speaker of Parliament to the Shiites. So we end up with this bizarre situation where Hezbollah calls the shots, even though they have less than 10 members in Parliament, and the only Shiite post is not even held by a Hezbollah member either. It's held by the head of another allied Shia party. So it's shadowy, and of course, that's why we end up with governments that are decided in backroom consultations. No one really knows who's calling the shots. And here, this also leads to something that's going to either be the salvation for America's relationship with Lebanon or a further source of problem. This will be considered a Hezbollah government, but it will be led by no one in Hezbollah. And America will have to decide whether it's willing to sever relations over that or whether it's willing to continue as it has till now, dealing with Lebanon so long as it never has to sit in the same room as a Hezbollah representative.
Well, we want to talk about this character who was appointed prime minister or who technically received the support of Lebanese lawmakers to be prime minister in a moment. But if you go into the streets of Beirut today, there are thousands of Sunnis waving flags, burning tires, torching a van belonging to Al Jazeera, trying to cover the demonstrations. It's called a day of rage. Is this a constitutional crisis, Thanasi Kambanis, or is this an interreligious crisis on the order of what we saw very brutally in 2005 and 2006 in Iraq?
I think it's more the second thing you said. It's more a sectarian problem. Constitutionally, what's happening is completely normal. And in fact, in the last elections, Hariri's allies won the majority of the seats, but Hezbollah won the popular vote. So nothing's really changed in terms of the power dynamics, and the process that's being followed is by the book. However, in starkly sectarian terms and emotional terms, what this means for the Sunnis, who were once the dominant class, is that they are finally losing the last vestiges of their official power. They had the prime ministry up until, or they do still, I guess, today until the transition happens. And this is an ugly reminder of the fact that they are now weaker than the Shiites. And we can't forget, even though Hezbollah and the Shiites dominate the country, the Sunnis are still very strong. And if they feel threatened in their neighborhoods, in their areas, as we're seeing today and yesterday with the riots, they will also not hesitate to turn to violence.
Well, and of course, the propensity for Lebanon to fall apart completely and devolve into civil war is something we've seen multiple times, certainly during my lifetime. Tell me something about the person of Najib Mikati, who actually has formally won the support to become the next prime minister. Is it the case that he's not a part of Hezbollah, even though Hezbollah supports him?
Yeah, he was prime minister in 2005 during a similar period of tumult after the protests that drove Syria out, and he shepherded the caretaker government that held those first free elections that led to the period we've seen now. He's a billionaire, he created a telecoms company. He did some courses at Harvard Business School. He's a fairly moderate figure. He's got good relations with Syria, but he's not considered an excessively pro-Syrian camp. You know, Hezbollah did have to back down a little bit because their first choice candidate, a man named Omar Karami, is much more divisive, considered staunchly pro-Syrian and staunchly pro-Hezbollah, and they I guess calculated that would cause so much more anger than this choice that they backed down and nominated this guy who is actually friends with the Hariri family and in the past has been politically allied with them as well.
Well, and indeed, Najib Mikati told the BBC, I'm a moderate guy, I'm a moderate politician, I'm equidistant from everybody, especially I want very good relations with the international community. A lot of promises to be kept there. Thanasi Kambanis, thanks so much.
Pleasure.
Author of A Privilege to Die, Inside Hezbollah's Legions and Their Endless War Against Israel, talking about the Day of Rage going on, Sunnis protesting Hezbollah's apparent takeover of the Lebanese government.